Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today is our gospel reading where Simeon said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And today we speak of that light for the nations, or perhaps I should have called it instead salvation for you, because we are the nations, that we see our salvation in Christ. Dear friends in Christ, I'll ask. You don't need to raise your hand if you don't want to, but you can if you want. You watch any Hallmark Christmas movies this year? Maybe, I don't know, Matchmaker Santa, or A Boyfriend for Christmas, or My Christmas Love? No? Even those without romance in the title, ones like Broadcasting Christmas, seem to follow about the same pattern. That there's a woman whose focus is elsewhere, be it in business or children or responsibilities of some kind. She unexpectedly, and I mean to her, not to everybody else, I mean the whole audience expects this, but for her, she unexpectedly finds the spirit of Christmas and possibly true love. Now, I didn't see any. Didn't see any this year. I don't seek them out. I tend to look instead for things like Boris Karloff's Grinch when I am looking for Christmas movies or Christmas shows. But I do actually understand the attraction of the Hallmark movies. I might say it feels a little old, it feels a little cliched, but I get to why they come out with what is close to the same movie every year. Because we do feel burdened by our responsibilities. And it is good for us to see someone find hope and love and Christmas. That if we can feel what the couple on TV, that love and hope is possible. If we can feel with them that that's possible, maybe it's also not beyond our reach. Maybe it can come to us too, even within our own marriage, our own family, our own lives. And so, we like those Christmas stories. Today we get another Christmas story. Not a Hallmark one, a different one. But it's not always easy to think about this passage with Simeon as a Christmas story. Simeon's song, the one that we spoke at the beginning, spoken when Jesus first appears at the temple, contains themes that we often associate not with Christmas, but with Passion Week, of Christ's body being given for us, his blood being shed on the cross, of departure in peace, and we use it, his song, when we remember Christ's passion and his presence in the Lord's Supper. And that's probably when we think about most, when we hear Simeon's song, more than Christmas. And God and Luke, they're intentional on this one. Simeon and Anna, they kind of close out the birth narrative of Jesus in Luke. But God also uses them to introduce the continuing good news, the continuing gospel of Christ that continues in that passion and birth narrative. So Simeon does speak also of the loss of the sword. Yet, Simeon's song, this whole passage we read today, is not merely the beginning of the passion. The Christ Simeon sees is not a Christ crucified, but a newborn infant. The salvation that he sees is not yet the cross, but what he sees is God in the flesh. This is a Christmas story, but it's a Christmas story with a larger context than what we've seen so far. You see, God told the particular story. God told the particular story. Luke begins with a promise after a brief introduction, a promise made not to mankind, but to one man, Zechariah. A particular story. And God continued this particular story as a story about a particular infant born in a stable, given the name Jesus. God's story is a particular story about Mary, whom God visited. One young girl from the middle of nowhere, Galilee. And God gives that particular girl the gift of a son. He makes her the mother of God. God visits a particular man, Joseph, a minor descendant of David with an apparently broken marriage. And God heals his loss and gives Joseph the gift of God's son as well. All particular people. And very different than our experience. And holy and set apart for that reason, that it does seems different. Not that these people are so different. We know children and infants. We know young mothers. We know young fathers. But what happens to them is so strange, so unique, that we can see that they are set apart. They are holy. There is something holy here. Mary is called blessed. And that night is sung of as a holy night. We might fear to approach like Moses, lest our feet touch the holy ground. We're used to more common ways to reach God, to see God. There are more common ways for men to reach out to God. After all, men have been trying to find their way to God for ages. From the fruit in the garden, to the Tower of Babel, to idols and golden calves, to mighty empires whose leaders have been called gods. The problem with all these ways that men have tried to reach out to God is that they don't all have failed. They don't offer hope. They lead to death. Adam and Eve died. Babel was abandoned. Idols cannot save. Every emperor died and their empire crumbled. Even human reason and the best of human abilities, even Socrates and the philosophers, they've died. And we also find ourselves busy in our own way, by our own strength or reason or might, trying to make or sustain food and shelter. And we might say that we're echoing God's work of creation in some small way. But really, it looks like it's a pitiful, poor attempt in comparison. It doesn't really offer much hope. Hardly for today, much less for tomorrow. And certainly not for eternity. We need God to act, or we're lost. And when God acts, well, as we said, he acts in and for Mary and Joseph and Jesus. A particular story. And yet, when God embraces human flesh in the person of Jesus, when he draws Mary and Joseph close to him and brings them into his family, when he works for the particular flesh, those particular people, the eternal, the omnipresent God, he works in all flesh. He works for all people. When the babe takes on human flesh, God says that man has not fallen, that you have not fallen so far, that God cannot redeem you. God takes on flesh and says that man can dwell with God and God with man. That man can dwell with God and not be consumed. That God is born of Mary and she lives and there is a happy ending. And it's better than some Hallmark special, because Simeon explains this for us, that this particular story, this means something, not even just for Israel, but even for those outside of Israel, for all the nations. It is a light for the revelation to the nations. It is a light for everyone. God's salvation is shown in Mary and Joseph, and most particularly in Jesus. But this is also the consummation of why Abraham was called, why Israel was called. It is the glory and redemption of Israel. The whole people can glory and hope in this one particular child. For God has visited this people. And the nations, the Gentiles, you and me, we too share in that same flesh that God embraced. The hope of redemption in Jesus is a story for us as well. It tells us that even we are not beyond God's reach, that He has come to redeem us as well. That in Jesus He does redeem us. We have a better hope than the Christmas spirit. We have a better hope than a possibility of romance, because our flesh is redeemed. And we, even we Gentiles of the nations, are brought into the family of God, just as Mary and Joseph were. It is reason to rejoice and fear and awe and sing. It is a reason to rejoice, so sing with Simeon. Give praise with Anna. Your life is complete and you may depart in peace, for Christ has come for you. He has redeemed you in the flesh. He has mended your relationship with Him and others. He has brought peace on earth to all men, to all the nations. He has brought you. Again, the particular, but now it's you. He's brought you into the family of God. You have seen His salvation. Go in peace. Amen. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you always. Amen.